Okay, so this morning, and I was reading a passage from the scriptures, and I came upon this sort of a surprising thing that happened there, and I'll talk about it in just a minute or two. But let me just start by saying, as believers, as messianic believers especially, we often are told by friends or families, in one way or another, this is what we're told. Just come on down. Just come down from where you are. Come down from what you're doing. So what I mean from that is this. People will say, you know, come down from your Shabbat observance stuff. You don't have to do that. You're the only people that seems like you're the only people that are doing that. So sort of just come on down from that. Come down from your attending synagogue every week. Come down. What are you doing this? You're not doing it the way we do it, the way I do it. You know, just come down from what you're doing. Or, you know, come down from eating certain foods and staying away from other foods, and you know, you should be able to eat whatever you want. And the reality is, you can eat whatever you want. But the thing is, you know, come down from eating or staying away from certain foods. Come on down from that stuff. Come down from observing the holidays. Come down from observing Yom Kippur, celebrating Rosh Hashanah. Come down from that stuff. Come down from Sukkot. Every year, and each every year, you celebrate it. You feel like you have to celebrate it. Come down at that time of the year. You're celebrating Hanukkah. Why are you celebrating Hanukkah? Come down from that stuff. We hear these things, especially as Messianic believers. We hear these things. Now, we all know the name, and I'm going to go back just a little bit to something that happened to one of those things sometimes that people say, come on down from. What are you celebrating Passover for? Why do you celebrate Passover? Why do you do that every year? Why do you make such a big deal about it? So we hear this name every year at Passover, the name of Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Hanavi. And we talk about Eliyahu, we talk about Elijah, we talk about him in our Passover Seder. We read about him a number of times in the Passover Haggadah every year. But the thing is, we must always remember that Elijah was more than just this prophet that's brought up every year at Passover. He was a prophet of God. He's more than just the prophet that we know that announces the Messiah. And so that's how he is spoken of at the Passover Seder, that he's the prophet that's going to be announcing the Messiah. How that's going to work out, we don't know. How it's going to happen, we're not really sure. But we know that certainly it is spoken of time and time again that Eliyahu is the prophet that's going to announce the coming, and it'll be the coming of Messiah. Elijah was called by the angel of the Lord, and this is what we read about in the Tanakh. We read about it in the Old Testament. Elijah was called by the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him. So the reality is, Elijah knew Messiah before Messiah came to earth. If the angel of the Lord, because we know that the angel of the Lord is, in fact, the Messiah, the Mashiach, pre-incarnate. We know that the angel of the Lord is Yeshua before he was born of a virgin. That is the part of God. That component, that side of God that we know that is part of the Godhead. So if the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Elijah, then actually Elijah knew Messiah, Yeshua, before he actually became Messiah, Yeshua. And so the angel of the Lord speaks to Elijah, and this is one of the things that I read about this week, to correct the thinking and the faith of the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. It was King Ahaziah. And the angel of the Lord came to Elijah to specifically go to the king and tell him that your faith is wrong and what you're doing is wrong and your thinking is all wrong. So let's go to 2 Kings, and we'll pick up and we'll read a little bit about this. 2 Kings verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise and go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?'" You know, and when we look at this, it's a very Jewish way of doing things. This is how your mother might approach you when you did so wrong. Your mother wants to lay guilt on you, and so she says, "What's the matter? It wasn't enough that I carried you for 9 months before you were born? You couldn't call me, you can't call me every week? At least once a week?" We know that that's a Jewish guilt thing. But here's what we have is, God is telling Elijah to do some of this stuff. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going to inquire about Baal-zebub? What is it? There's no God for Israel? And he was the king of the northern kingdom. And so here we have the king of Israel looking to a pagan idol, a pagan god, to get his answer to whether he's going to live or die because of his injury. And obviously it was a serious injury. He was afraid that he was going to die. And so he went to the god, little g god, to answer his question. And I can only assume that he went to him asking Baal-zebub to heal him. And then to say, am I going to be healed or am I going to die? And so when the messengers return and tell the king what Elijah told the messengers, because the angel of the Lord was sent by God himself, to God the Father, to tell the messengers this. So when the messengers returned to tell the king what Elijah said, that because of his actions, that he's going to surely die. In other words, God was telling him, you're going to die. Now, it might not have been because of the severe injuries, but I can only believe it was because of the choice that he made to not to come to the God of Israel. What? There's not a God of Israel that you could go to? But he went to the little g god. And so the king sent men to get Elijah. And so now we'll look at one more verse here, verse 9. And then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he was a captain that was in charge of 50 men, and he was ordered to bring all of his men to get Elijah. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill, and he spoke to Elijah, "Man of God, the king has said, come down." That thing that we've heard so many times in other ways, but basically that's what's happening here. Elijah was obedient to God. Elijah loved the Lord. And then he went up to the mountaintop. After he did in obedience what God had sent him to do, he went up to the mountaintop, which was really accustomed to do. And he went to the mountaintop and he started worshiping the Lord up on the mountaintop. But the king wanted him to come down from worshiping God. And so this is Elijah's response. We'll go one more verse, verse 10. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven and consumed the captain and his 50 men. Right. You got it. But here's the thing. The king refused to repent. God wanted him to repent initially. He refused. He sent the men to get him and to stop him from worshiping God, the God of Israel. And so now we read verses 11 and 12. And then he sent to him another captain of 50 and his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, "Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. I want you to come down right now." So Elijah answered and said to them, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. Now we would think that the king would wise up here, right? That he'd sort of come to his senses, you know? That he'd realize his sin. That maybe he'd say, "Wait a minute here. There's been two captains and 100 men burned up by the God of Israel. Maybe I better rethink this thing. Maybe I should repent after all. Maybe I should change my ways." You would think that. However, there's this spiritual overtaking that happens in people's lives. And it's not, you know, and this is the thing that I just want to talk about briefly here, just for a minute or two. It's not just something that happens thousands of years ago. It's something that even happens today. I call it spiritual overtaking because the bad spirits overtake us if we allow. You know, we hear these words, "Oh, don't let the enemy, don't let Satan, don't let the devil have a foothold in, you know, if he gets his foot in that doorway and you're trying to close the door on him and he gets his foot in and blocks that door from closing, he can wedge his way in and get that door open." You know, we hear about these kinds of symbolistic things here. But the reality is, it is really a spiritual overtaking if we open the door to things that are not of the Lord. They overtake us. And so many times they overtake us. Now, with the king, we laugh because you, king, two captains and 100 men. But sometimes the enemy does things a little bit at a time. You know, they talk about that slippery slope, you know, and all these things, all these visuals that we have about, you know, subtly and step by step, and we don't even realize how far away we get from the Lord. But this is spiritual overtaking of our common sense. It's a spiritual overtaking of our rational thinking. It's a spiritual overtaking of what happens all too often by too many people, that it happens slowly and then before they know it, it spirals down. You know, the only way I could, you know, if we envision, because they talk about that little slope, Envision you're at a little slow. You know, it's like going into, because I was just seeing a movie on TV, and they showed the bottom of a swimming pool, and you realize this is how it is. You know when you get into a swimming pool, and they have an area, and it's so you can stand in the pool, you know, and it slowly goes down. So, you know, you're in the pool, in the water, and it's a little bit higher, and you can still stand there, but if they don't have one of those ropes up, what can happen is the next step you take, you drop straight down. Because it's 8 feet deep. It started at 2 feet, 2.5, 3 feet, 3.5, 4.5. It goes all the way down, you know, to maybe 4.5 feet, 5 feet, and you can really keep your head just above the water. But then what happens is, and it happens so often in pools, it drops down from 5 feet and it goes 8 feet down. Or 6 feet down. So, you know, if you're not 6 feet tall, like me, it's over your head. Well, that's the kind of picture we need to see that happens so many times. That before we know it, spiritually, things just spiral down before we can even understand what's going on. So, let's go back to 2 Kings here. What's the matter, lady? You don't like my message? It's like... So for those of you that just started coming, that's my wife, so don't worry about it. If you get up and have to go to the bathroom, I won't call you out on that. I don't think. Maybe. You can never tell. So 2 Kings, so verses 13, 14, and 15. Again he sent a third captain and 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 men went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, "Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 men, these 50 servants of yours, be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains and 50s and their 50s, and let my life now be precious in your sight." And so the angel of the Lord once again spoke to Elijah and said, "Go down with him and don't be afraid of him." And so he got up and he went down with him to the king. Notice, he only went down when God spoke to him through the angel of the Lord. The captain got it. The king didn't get it. Because the king sent another captain. And the captain's going, "Hey, wait a minute, kingy. Look what happened to my two friends and their 100 men." The captain got it. The captain went and asked and begged to forgiveness to the Lord. And God spared him and his 50 men. I know that I have mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it one more time because it happens. And even though I've mentioned it before, it still happens. And it happens in the body of Messiah, not just here, but it happens in the body of Messiah. If you have friends that are not doing what the Lord should have them do, or if you have friends that you know are in a sin area, don't go down with the ship. They may be your friends, but if they're doing wrong, you don't have to do wrong just because they're your friend. If you know that what they're doing is wrong, tell them what they're doing is wrong. And if you are too intimidated to tell them what's doing wrong, then just walk away. But don't go down with the ship, people, because too many people have gone down with their friends, because they're my friends. And so instead of even saying, "Let me find out what's really going on here. Let me find out what the truth really is. Let me find out what right is, what wrong is. Let me find out about it." They don't want to. "No, my friend said it, and it's good enough for me, and I'm not even going to think about it. Don't confuse me with the facts. I'm going to go down with the ship with my friends." and it happens. Please don't do it. Jump ship before it's too late. Because too many people do that even today. So the king wanted Elijah to come down. But Elijah, he had confidence in God, and he knew that God was going to protect them. He was true. I mean, he knew. He knew so strongly that he even knew that God was going to consume those people, bring fire down, you know, not just protect. He spoke it out, what God was going to do, and that's what happened. How big is our God? How big? He's the same God that we have today. He's the same God that created everything. He's the God of creation. He's the same God today that he was back then. That's how big our God is. He calls the dead to come to life. That's how big he is. He offers us eternal safety and security and salvation. That's how big he is. People, no matter what tells you, no matter who tells you, no matter what they say to you, don't just blindly listen to them, and don't just blindly reject what they're saying, but search it out and see, and go to the Lord and see if it's that you should be. Sometimes we come down from the things where you are told to come down from things that we shouldn't be a part of, then come down. But in the areas that we know that God has called us to do it, don't come down. It doesn't matter if the majority of the people tell you to come down. He had a captain and 50 men that were waiting for him to come down. There were 51 people. Then there were 102 people. It was the majority. Don't come down because a lot of people are telling you to come down. It may not be what God is telling you to do. The enemy is going to use people to try to get you down. Don't listen to people. People will mock you. They will reject you. Mocking is a big thing. They'll make fun of you. They'll make you feel bad. Don't come down. And mocking isn't foreign. God knows about, he knows all about mocking. Yeshua knows about mocking. And Yeshua knows about what the enemy will use, how he will use people against you. I'm going to go to the Brit Hadashah, to the New Testament. We have a couple of verses, Matthew 27. And this is Yeshua's up on the cross, up on the tree. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking. He mocked the chief priests, plural, mocked with scribes and elders, and said, "Ha! He saved others. Himself he can't save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross now. Oh, and then we'll believe him." They mocked him. What they didn't realize was that was not God's purpose. And that wasn't God's way. And that was not what was making God the Father pleased. And so they mocked him. They publicly mocked him in front of the crowd. People are going to mock you. People have already mocked you. I know it. It happens. It even happens in the body of Messiah. Because sometimes the people that are mocking, they're getting mocked from the world. People are going to mock you. Because they don't understand, or they don't want to be confronted what the truth is. How often do we tell people, just open the Bible and look and see what God wants us to do? But they don't want to open the Bible. God forbid it might go against what they believe or what they're mocking about. Yeshua was called to get down, to come down, but he refused. And so if we know that we're doing what God has called us to do, just as Elijah knew, just as Yeshua knew, refuse to come down. Because when we come down, we're coming down from our calling. We're coming down from what God has called us to do and to be. And we're coming down. And when we come down, we're coming down to what's down below us, which is not the way of God. It can be whatever we want to look at it. It's the way of the world. It's the way of people. But it's not the way of the Lord. And so people refuse, question, search out before you make mistakes that are not pleasing to the Lord. Don't come down, people. It doesn't matter how many people are calling you to come down. If you know that you know that you're doing the right thing, you stay where you are. Don't come down. If anything, rise up above it. Higher and higher. Closer to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Thank you.